Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a quick shot of romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode, we're doing it a little different, is Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello, Becky.
I felt that it was really important that we document all of our feelings on this book, because I feel at the end of the year, this is going to be sitting on the top reads for all of us.
If it's not, these people are nincompoops. Well, we are nincompoops also, but other people are nincompoops if they don't love this book.
Yeah, no, I mean, it would have to be something very spectacular to knock this off my number one.
Yeah,
for this year.
I don't know what kind of magic Tara DeWitt has in her brain, but it is magic.
Well,
every freaking time.
I thought of one thing as I was sitting here and writing my notes for this episode. I have one thing that I feel like we need to question a little bit, but we'll get to that in a second, okay? Okay, and Amanda's already like, I reject all of your thoughts.
I will hear your questions, but I don't think I care on this book.
So on this episode of A Quick Shot of Romance, we are reviewing Left of Forever by Tara DeWitt. This is the second book in the Spoons Organ
series.
I will link the synopsis in the notes of this post. Release date is May 20th, 2025. Second chance, small town setting, close proximity, found family. A little bit of a foodie romance again. She likes food. Firefighter, hero, and then road trip adventures. This is the Spoons series. It is a series of standalones. Dual first person, put out percentage is 85%. Audio narrators, if you do the audiobook, are Connor Crace and Megan Wicks, which I did and absolutely enjoyed.
Yeah. Like, it was amazing.
Like, really enthralling. Well done. But I really felt like Savor It was an exceptionally well done audiobook.
I will say, I am a fan of Connor, like, as an audio narrator. And I've never heard Megan Wicks, but she was a narrator that I will be searching for
from
now on.
Content warning, there is discussion of ectopic pregnancy and infertility in this book. So I do think you should go in knowing that. At the end of the episode, I will, because I didn't put it in the doc for anybody else, but I will give you songs that you could use for your own mixtape for this song.
Oh, I have a bunch
already. Have a bunch
I don't
too.
Even need a prompt.
Okay. So first of all, this was one of my most anticipated reads of 2025. I think it was for all of us.
Yes.
And this is the story of Wren and Ellis Bird, who are childhood sweethearts who married young. They have a son together. They had started to build their life together, but then things started happening. They were kind of growing apart within an infertility struggle after they had their son, because they got pregnant and then got married, right? Like,
yeah,
it was accidental.
Because they got pregnant. Ron was 17, I think, when they got pregnant. So it was a teen pregnancy. They were like a really strong couple, but then, I mean, it talks about how like they kind of grew and not together, but they together at the same time.
Yeah. So they are divorced. And this is now 7 years, right? 7 years post-divorce.
No, I think it's only five.
I had five.
Is it five? Okay. Five years post-divorce. Well, I guess I put seven because it says that they divorced when the little guy, Sam, right? His name is Sam, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is 12. And then I just assume, you know, college, 18 or 19.
But he's just going into college. Like, he's graduated from high school, like, in this book. And, like, he's getting his college acceptance, which is kind of, like, the whole road trip side of it. Because it's, like, the last hurrah.
Yeah.
Before, like, they're driving him to, like, his freshman year as a family.
Yeah, and he's going early for, like, summer school to get a job.
So, are we going to keep this spoiler free, or are we spoiling the heck out of this?
I think we spoil it because
Okay.
I think there's too much we can't talk about if we don't spoil it, because
Okay.
the whole reason they kind of start getting back together is a spoiler.
So, what you're going to want to do is check the bottom of this post and we'll let you know whether we gave it thumbs up, thumbs down, or should you read it or whatever. Like, we'll tell you what our individual ratings are on this book. The reviews are over on the website also. But I wouldn't listen to this. I'd pause this until after you read the book if you don't
Also, you
want
don't have to
spoiled.
check our thumbs up and thumbs down. Just go read the book.
Okay, well, that's a little forceful there. Jesus.
Go read it.
So one of the things that I think is really interesting that Tara DeWitt did very exceptionally well in this book, and I will be honest, I've read this book and Savor It, and that's it. I haven't read anything else in her backlist. There's only three other books in her
Yeah, there's
co-op,
Rootbound,
Funny.
Funny Feelings, and the Co-op.
Yeah, and I haven't read any of those. But second chance romance can be really tricky.
Yes.
But I
It
think
has to
she
make
did
sense.
an exceptional job. I also would like to applaud her use of flashbacks. They were not obnoxious.
Yes. Because the flashbacks made sense and like helped drive the story forward. Like this is one of those few books where like I did not get taken out of the story with the flashbacks, and like they worked really well.
They're woven so seamlessly into what's happening now that I didn't feel like I was missing on the current situation by having to go back. Like it all tied in.
So this is the only complaint that just recently came into my head, and I want to start there because it's in the beginning. So, and because there's a little bit of miscommunication and deception within this book right in the beginning. And that's the fact that Ellis is keeping the secret that he knows about Ren's desire to start dating, to put herself out there based on the goodie box that she mails to the wildfire workers, and he just happens to get it.
Well, and they become pen pals, and like he knows it's her, but she doesn't know it's him.
So here is my question. Here is my question, and this is it. This is the only complaint that I could come up with. How does she not recognize his handwriting?
I thought about that when I was reading it, but honestly, like I don't look at my husband's handwriting very often. Like
I
if
don't
I were
either.
to get it randomly in a letter, especially if we'd been divorced for 5 years, I don't know that I could tell you it was my husband's handwriting.
I don't think I could tell
The
you
only thing I
Michael's
will say is
handwriting.
they do share a child, so there is communication that comes back and forth, a note left here, a note left there between the two of them because they
Are they
talk
notes or are
about
they
that.
texting things back and
Well,
forth?
but he talks about how he left her notes like on the counter when they would when he would grab Sam and stuff like that.
Well, but here's a question though. When you're writing a note versus when you're writing like a letter or something like that, do you write your notes the same way you would write a letter?
I
Because for
do.
me, I don't. Like my notes
No.
are like chicken scratch.
Oh.
But if I'm writing with purpose, then I take my time. So like my letters and cards and things like that are much neater and cleaner than my notes.
It just
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
I write a letter in cursive and I write notes in print.
Yeah, that was my only thing
I can
was
understand where you would, are coming
yeah,
from,
like
but
how did she not know
like
that?
Michael leaves me notes every once in a while, but I don't think like if he wrote me a letter and I got it randomly, I would recognize that it was his.
Do you think this book stand like the way it starts? There is some process there that I think Tara, the way she jumps up off of it, is that you have read Savor It, that you know these characters already. I think it leans kind of heavy on the previous book, it just as far as introductions, who's who, and what everyone is.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't really think about that in the beginning, on
But we
whether or
all
not I
read
would have.
Savor It, so I don't know how that would,
Yeah.
I don't know how you would come into it not knowing those characters.
That's what I'm
Like,
saying.
I think that
So, as
it
a
would be.
standalone, I think that it would be a little more of a challenge. Like, I was immediately connected to these characters right from jump on page one.
Yeah.
I think that another reader coming in, it might be a little bit of a struggle for them to immediately connect like we did.
Well, but I feel like when I read book one, like when I read Savor It, it took me some time to like those, not like the characters, but really like dive into the characters. Like maybe like two or three chapters. But a lot of times with a new book, like I really have to get the feel of those characters, whether it's a new to me series or not. You know what I mean? Like, because they're new characters, new feelings, new emotions. So I don't think you have to read book one to have like the right connection with them. I think for us all reading it, we just had that leg up. So like we knew going into it, we were gonna love these two.
Yeah, I just think that as a standalone, I don't know because none of us did read it as a standalone. The way that she kind of engages us right in that beginning, I don't know how it reads as a standalone. So that's my only caution to whoever is listening to this or whatever, how it would read as a standalone.
I think in the very beginning, it might take you a minute to like get into it, but I think she does such a good job in explaining their past because all of that is relatively new to us. Like we know that they're divorced. We know that, you know, that they've broken up for a reason. We know that they have kind of a situation where they just deal with each other because of their son and because she's best friends with his sister. Like we know that they have this kind of, you know, relationship without really talking to each other. But I think for a new person coming in, it might be a struggle to start with, but I think eventually, like once they start getting the backstory, that it would stand alone.
So what are our thoughts on Ren? So we're going to talk characters because this is a quick shot. So let's talk characters first, and then we're going to just go through the overall, like briefly through the story, because we don't want to give too much away, because we love this story, and I think that we could all kind of we could go on here for an hour. We don't have an
Oh,
hour.
yeah, easily.
So let's talk about Ren first. I think that she stood out in that first book.
She did.
And she stands exceptionally out in this book. This was her book.
It was, yeah.
I
I
agree.
loved Ren. Like, I thought the strength in which she was like devastated at what happened and all of the trauma that they went through, but at the same time, she's like, I am going to continue living my life. Like, this divorce is not the end of me. Like, my business will thrive. I will begrudgingly date, but I will give my kid the best life that I can, even though like he and like me and his dad are not together.
What are your thoughts, Amanda, on Ren?
I mean, I loved her. I thought she was smart. She's very witty. She like her one-liners had me laughing. Like I was so impressed with just how like she kind of turned everything on its head and, you know, did all of like just kind of bantered and kept pace with Ellis like the whole time. And then I love the fact that she's not willing to like give up the birds as her family because we find out that she basically helped Ellis raise them after, you know, his parents were gone. So, I mean, like they're as much her family as they are his. So, you know, I really appreciated that she was not willing to give that up.
I also give her kudos because she didn't hold a grudge against him, and I fucking would have been livid. You know, he went and got that vasectomy without
Without
really
talking to her about it.
talking to her. And I would have taken a lot more digs than she did.
Honestly, she is a much more emotionally like mature person than I, because like had I found out my husband did something like that without having a conversation with me, no matter what the situation was, like it would have been bad. But that's the thing, like, so she holds on to that family, and he allows it too, though. Like he understands like she needs that. And that, like, well, yes, he was an idiot in what he did, but he does not begrudge her wanting to keep that relationship. And it's like they are basically two passing ships. Like they don't really interact personally, like ever. Like they would see each other at holidays, but he would not eat any of like the pastries and things like that. Well, in that,
Well, let's
I don't
talk
think I
about
would
him.
just.
Let's talk about him because we got about like 7 minutes.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about him. So Ellis,
Okay.
his character arc in this book is fairly exceptional. He has huge emotional growth, especially talks about the therapy. It's portrayed with such sensitivity and a realistic way that it comes out. it felt like an evolution of a true person and partner, and he wanted to be forgivable. Like, he didn't beg for forgiveness. He wanted to prove that he had earned forgiveness.
Yeah,
Well,
and I feel like he earned it. Like I felt like at the end of this book that he earned them getting back together, and it was clear to me why she so easily got back with him because he put in the work.
Well, and I think that the whole pen pal side of it and like the two parts really worked well in this story because like she, as the pen pal, like she told his character, which she didn't know, like a lot of stuff that he wasn't aware of. And so he finally recognized, like, not that he didn't know that he did something wrong, but he finally recognized how emotionally, like, traumatized she was by what he did and the choices he made without talking to her, and the fact that, like, she needed conversation, she needed emotional, like, cornerstone from him, and like he wasn't able to give that to her, and he wanted to be able to give that to her.
do you think this story would have been as impactful had they not been on a road trip with that close proximity, forced to communicate? Do you think that this could have happened had it just stayed in Spoons?
I think it could have, but I don't think it would have been as impactful. Like, I think there was a way that she probably could have made it happen, but taking them out of the location of all of their past trauma and hurts, like, allowed them to do it in a way where they were just like, they could start over. They could,
Well, and it was
without,
just them.
without having any interference and not necessarily starting over, but they could air everything out and get to a place of healing without all these memories like in their
Well,
face.
and like the road trip itself, like Sam really wanted them to go on it because he wanted them back together. Sam is the son, if we didn't say his name. But it's one of those things where like they were stuck. Like they had to have the conversations. And when they get done with the road trip, like they're not back together, really. Like they are, but they aren't. Like they're still in that like
I mean, it's heading
limbo.
that way. You can, it's
It is
clear it's
heading
heading
that
that
way, but
way.
like,
But yeah.
there's still a lot of work to do
Yeah.
after that road trip. So that's why I think like without the road trip, it would have worked. She would have had to, I mean, she definitely would have had to write it differently, of course, naturally, but like I think that it still would have worked because like the road trip, it did. It led for like them to a lot of the healing, but it didn't, it wasn't the like they didn't come back together on the road trip and like come home from the road trip together. Like there was still a lot of work and a lot of therapy and a lot of
Yeah.
things that happened once they got back.
And the reason I ask that is sometimes we get like a road trip romance that it just feels like the author didn't know how to write the story and that the
And they
road
wouldn't have
trip
gotten together without it.
was just an afterthought. And I don't feel like that with this book. I feel like this was an exceptional use of this kind of trope without, and oftentimes when we get road trip, it's funny, right? It's a
Yeah,
rom-com. This was
this
so
was not
much
funny.
more emotional, and vulnerable, and a lot more depth and layers to this book. I'm sure that you have one, Amanda. Is there a quote in this book that just wrecked your little heart? I have one. And
Say
that's,
yours, and I don't know if I put mine on here. Oh, let me
if
see.
I found out heaven was real and got there first, I'd hang back in the waiting room, saving you a seat.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like that's just ridiculous. How do you not just die from that? Hold on, I'm gonna pull it up really quick. I'm sorry, I know
Okay,
you're
no,
gonna
that's
say
okay.
yours.
Tell
I'm
us
gonna tell you
yours.
mine.
Yes.
Mine was, I've been living and loving in half measures for years, living my life in pencil because I don't think I can get shit right the first time. Maybe because I think it'll save me some pain. So far, I've been wrong.
Do you have one,
I mean,
Amanda?
like, okay.
I have more than one, but that one is like my top one.
I will say that the Dear Stranger, like
Oh.
the opening into that letter,
Yeah.
Yeah.
without going into a full quote, like I started my review for this book, Dear Stranger, if that tells you.
It says a
It was
lot.
just
It says
really
a lot.
impactful. Like the like It was really
Yeah, I mean,
impactful.
okay, so we're coming to end of time because we have something else we have to do now. So, real quick, obviously, we all think you should read this book. It's
Yes.
absolutely, I think it was 5 stars for all of us.
Yes.
Amanda,
It would give more if we can.
give two or three songs that would be on your mixtape for Left of Forever.
Okay, the first one is Exile by Taylor Swift and Bon Iver. That's
Oh,
two
that's a
people
good
who
one.
were broken up, and he sees her out with another person, and basically they're singing back and forth to each other about, all the hurt and everything that's between them. I think of any time that there's like a divorced couple that gets together, that's my go-to song. And then also I think Francesca by Hozier is a really good one. And I know Tara DeWitt said that was like her the one main one she listened to while she was writing this book. So I would those are my two top ones.
So I went with Ripple by the Grateful Dead because it talks about every small moment having a larger effect in your world. And that absolutely was Renan Ellis. Like every little thing had to happen to have this moment. You Will Be Found by Dear Evan Hansen. It's from the musical. It's a, and that was really for Ellis. That was a song for Ellis that even in his struggles, she found him. She knew where he was. And then Someone Like You by Van Morrison.
Oh,
Oh,
that's a good one. I actually thought of one while we were talking.
Okay,
So,
what you got?
Someone You Loved by Lewis Capaldi.
Oh, that's a good one. Paper
There's so much like
Airplanes by,
feeling in that song, too.
Paper Airplane by Canyon City, Feelings by Maroon 5, would all be exceptional mixtape songs.
Yeah, and she actually has an amazing playlist at the beginning of this book.
Well, there we go.
So,
Anyway, that is this quick shot of romance. Thank you, everyone, for reading and reviewing Left of Forever with me.
it's so good. Just go freaking read this book, people.
Until next time, happy reading, everyone.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.